doors swung open, mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square.
This is the Quality News Network. The crisis in Lebanon is deepening following the abduction of two Israeli soldiers by the Islamic militant group Hezbollah. Israel accuses Hezbollah of firing more than 100 rockets into Israel, at least two of which struck an Israeli port. At least one person was killed and 92 others wounded in the attacks. But Hezbollah denies it was involved. Meanwhile, Beirut International Airport has been shut down after Israel bombed two of the runways. Israel has also blockaded Lebanese ports and military air bases. At least 55 people have reportedly been killed in Lebanon since yesterday. At the United Nations today, the U.S. vetoed a resolution that condemns Israel for its incursion into the Gaza Strip. Troops began entering more than 2 weeks ago following the abduction of an Israeli soldier. From Germany, President Bush expressed support for Israel today and blamed Hezbollah for the increasing violence. He also said Syria should be held accountable for supporting and harboring Hezbollah. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is demanding that Syria rein in the extremists. In Iraq, coalition forces have for the first time handed over security duties in the southern province to Iraq. Iraq's prime minister called it the first step toward full Iraqi control of all 18 provinces. In Washington today, Republican Senator Arlen Specter announced a deal over a bill to update the NSA's domestic spying program. The Bush administration has agreed to a court review of the program, and Congress has agreed not to make significant changes to the agreed-upon terms. In Miami, alleged terrorist suspect Jose Padilla will be allowed to view classified government documents in preparation for his trial. A defense lawyer says the move is unusual, but there have not been many prosecutions of terrorists in civilian courts. In Washington today, CIA officer Valerie Plame and her husband, former Ambassador Joe Wilson, sued Vice President Dick Cheney, his former top aide, and presidential advisor Karl Rove. They accuse the men of trying to destroy her career by revealing her identity. On Capitol Hill, senators have reached a deal that would allow oil drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, but not within 125 miles of Florida's coast. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says that bill could be debated in August. In Yucca Valley, California, wildfire has now burned 40,000 acres and destroyed 100 buildings. One official says that if that fire merges with another, it would be almost impossible to stop.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
A South Korean businessman was found guilty today in connection with the United Nations Oil for Food scandal. He was accused of being an Iraqi agent and trying to influence the UN program. A New Jersey jury has found Merck not liable in the death of a 68-year-old woman who suffered a heart attack after taking the medication Vioxx. The company faces more than 13,000 product liability lawsuits involving Vioxx. Freddie Mac reports that the average 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now 6.74%. That's the first decrease in 5 weeks. The Labor Department reports that new applications for unemployment benefits rose last week by 19,000 to 332,000. Auto plant shutdowns may have contributed to the increase. Tyson Foods plans to cut 420 jobs, most of them management positions, and not fill another 430 currently unfilled positions. That comes amid slow sales of beef, chicken, and pork. Microsoft and Yahoo are testing to see whether their instant message systems work together. The two are partnering to take on market leader AOL. Dell Computer is simplifying its pricing and cutting back on the number of mail-in rebate promotions offered to consumers. Light Sweet Crude settled at $76.70 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 167 points, NASDAQ down 36, S&P 500 down 16. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. It's Thursday and it ain't getting any better. Oh, there he goes again. He's just such a bummer, that Bob. We need happy radio. We need smiley radio. We need radio that makes us think it's all sunshine and daisies outside. Well, I'm sorry, it's going to be a little tough to have that tonight, seeing how Israel is busy trying to start World War III just about right now. Jeez. You know, I said last night I wasn't going to. How do I not? Yeah, I get up this morning, and of course, you know, because Israel's 6-7 hours ahead of us, not just Israel, the Levant, stuff has happened while I was sleeping. Mainly, murder, mayhem, and death happened while I was sleeping. And by that, I mean the first news story I saw this morning, 36 innocent civilians were killed overnight in this conflict. It's not, lovely. We've got another telemarketer. Put the telemarketer on, Agnes.
Sure. We could put you on here. It would be
God almighty. Oh, one of these days I get the booth with the glass in the middle and everything. I'm sorry.
She ran. I'm sorry.
But no, 36 people, 36 human beings who, you know, weren't carrying guns, didn't have a grenade belt, no bombs strapped to their waist, just kind of living. The video that I saw included a direct missile hit, or perhaps it was just a rocket, a direct missile hit on a woman drinking coffee on her balcony. Now, call me crazy, and you know, I'm sure it's already started. Oh, he's an anti-Semite. Yeah, you know, horse feathers. I'm an anti-warite. Well, the Palestinians started it. Well, the Israelis started it. Well, the Philistines started it. No, it was the Ammonites. No, it was the Hittites. Because God said something or nothing. You know, I don't know how you drag these war loving fiends to a table. But if we ever succeed in doing so, Bill Clinton did that one time. Bill Clinton did drag the war loving fiends to a table one time. Jimmy Carter dragged the war loving fiends to a table one time. That's how the Camp David Accords came about. Oh, wait a minute. Well, yeah, okay. So all we get from Dear Leader this morning over there in Germany, where they've literally welded the manhole covers to the ground because the world hates this man so much, they're afraid somebody might say boo to him. And, of course, if somebody did say boo to George W. Bush, he would probably drop dead from fright. I mean, this is a guy this is a guy for whom a pretzel is an instrument. Okay, stop it, Bob. No, but if we ever get the war-loving fiends to a table, the first thing we do is we sit them down and we say, okay, nobody here gets to say God gave me this dirt. Because as long as this is a religious problem, this problem will not be solved. I saw a video today that I was watching over at the... Well, our good friend David in South Carolina sent me a link to the Neil Young website, and I was watching some videos, and in one of them I saw a comment that said, perhaps we need more holy people and less holy dirt. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But no, we sit the war-loving fiends down and say, you know, we're going to work this out, and nobody gets to say, but God gave me this dirt. You know, it's like, for those of you, I don't know if this is even done anymore in America, but when I grew up and we played baseball in the neighborhood, and we didn't have enough to fill out a full side, you'd go to bat, and if you got on base, you know, you're on base, and the next guy bats you, he's out, and the next guy bats you around, and it's your turn to bat because it's a short order, and you're standing there on second, and it's your bat. You holler out there, ghost man on second, ghost man on second. And that invisible ghost man was presumed to sort of run the bases in your absence, depending on what happened when you came back to bat. Ghost man on second. Okay, when we get the war-loving fiends to sit down to a conversation, there's no claiming the ghost man. Ghost man on the Temple Mount. No. So 36 people who were not involved in this conflict. Is it up to 50? Is it up to 100 now? Are dead. A family of what? 6, 7, 8, 9 was killed by the Israelis the other day to get one guy. Now, isn't that a little bit like swatting flies with cinder blocks? And we're not talking about, you know, it was 6 or 7 people sitting around honking on the hookah, and one guy was bad and the other 6 guys were there. No, we're talking about, my 9-year-old precious little daughter just walked into the studio. It was a child that size that the Israelis blew away to get this guy that they didn't like. This is how you begin to look at things. I want the Israeli helicopter pilot or what, 500-pound bomb dropping jet jockey or whoever it was that dropped the bomb on the babies, the children. Yeah, but I've seen the children who have been blown up at the bus stops. Okay. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right. Stop killing innocents. 3 little words. Stop killing innocents. Boy, that's easy. Well, make the Palestinians stop first. No, make the Israelis stop first. Everybody stop at once. Somewhere in American history, there is an account. Very few people remember that Andrew Jackson dealt with the first secessionist urge coming out of the swirling pot of insanity that, for the most part, is South Carolina. And when Andrew Jackson heard about it, Andrew Jackson simply said, okay, guys, you know, because this guy didn't mind killing people. I mean, this guy, I was about to step in it bad. Andrew Jackson had already slaughtered more Indians than most of us have ever met in our lifetimes. Andrew Jackson said, okay, here's how it is. I'm going to get on my fine old horse, and I'm going to start riding for South Carolina. And once I cross the South Carolina state line, I'm going to find me a secessionist, and I'm going to hang him. And the next secessionist I meet, I'm going to hang him, too. And I'm going to hang me some secessionists till all this secessionist stuff is over with. How does the world deal with this? Right now, it appears that the worldwide response is to say, well, you know, Israel does this. And, you know, they just do it. And, you know, we just kind of have to let them. 36 people. 36 people who had nothing to do with any kidnapped soldier are dead. Is it 50? Is it 100? Is it 200 yet? Highways crowded with automobiles, filled with people who had nothing to do with the kidnapping of a soldier who didn't join the army in the first place. He was forced to join because he lives over on the holy sand. The car is full of people on a highway crammed with cars. Bombed. Just bombed. Holy cats. And we're not even where I want to go with all of this evening. The show is going to begin here after our break. There was a development today and we've talked about it from time to time, but haven't given it nearly the discussion that it deserves. The New Hampshire phone jamming case. And we're going to have a discussion of that after our break. Because this is turning into something. Sort of the way that Watergate began as a low-rent burglary nothing and turned into something. The New Hampshire phone jamming case is getting that way, too. So we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll dive into it. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. Me? I'm little old Bob Kincaid.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
It was one against, I don't know, probably 10. By the time they were done, his neck was red.
Oh, I am afraid to go to high school.
It scares me.
I have a knife and you don't. Ha 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 ha.
There was this kid that was like 17, or he came to a school with a gun.
We didn't know if it was fake or real.
Our children need our help to deal with tough issues like violence. Please,
Talk with your kids.
For a free booklet, call 1-800-CHILD-44. Brought to you by the Kaiser Family Foundation, Children Now, and the Ad Council.
This is Lee Hamilton.
And Ron Saracen of the U.S. Capitol Historical Society.
Our Capitol has hosted some of the great debates of our history.
And we're both proud to have served here.
But there is no guarantee that representative democracy will simply continue on.
We all need to ask ourselves whether we're doing our part as citizens.
Staying informed, engaging elected officials, and being active in our communities.
It's our history.
And it's also our future.
Get involved.
In Kosovo, the U.S. government has provided over 292 million ounces, a $70 million U.S. government assistance package for Central America in response to Hurricane Mitch.
Sometimes it seems like we spend an awful lot of our tax money helping people in other countries. But in reality, it's less than 1% of our government's annual budget. Our aid programs save lives by helping couples plan their families, immunizing children against deadly diseases, and ensuring that people have safe drinking water. It's important that these programs continue. Helping create a healthy and secure future for people in developing countries helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121. This message brought to you by Population Action International.
According to my highfalutin clock, it's about 21 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Thursday evening, a rainy one here in the hills and hollers of West Virginia at our undisclosed serpent-free location. Let's go to the phones. We are joined at this point in time by Christy Setzer. She is with the Senate Majority Project. Christy, are you there?
Yes, I am, Bob.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. You've been following for as long as anyone, or perhaps longer, with great interest, this New Hampshire phone jamming case. Is that the case?
That's right. Well, actually, our interest in this case started late last year, in about December, when James Tobin, who's one of the people who's since been convicted in the case, was going to his criminal trial. Maybe we should actually back up and talk a little bit about what the
yes, let's
about.
Please.
Basically, back in 2002, there was a close Senate election in New Hampshire between the current senator there, John Sununu, and Jean Shaheen. Democrats had gone about their plan to get out the vote. Republicans at that point had a different plan. Very soon before the election, the Republican Party in New Hampshire hired a firm called GOP Marketplace that would jam up the Democratic phone lines and the number for a get-out-the-vote line on Election Day to basically stop people from voting and prevent them from getting to the polls.
You know, and that's a separate philosophical question altogether, Christy, but why is it that Republicans seem to be convinced that they can only succeed by keeping people from voting and not counting votes?
Well, and that's a very serious question, and that's exactly, the heart of this scandal. Is that, while Democrats were trying their hardest to get everyone they could to the polls, this was almost exclusively the Republican strategy for this race. And the truth is that we don't know at this point if the wrong people are sitting in office right now, because for a couple hours on Election Day, their efforts actually succeeded.
Well, and we don't, and the this is a new, it's a New Hampshire issue, but the not wanting to count votes thing seems to be a national issue. But in where New Hampshire is concerned, this strikes me, Christy, as just being sleazy.
It's incredibly dirty. It is something that one of the judges in the case said, that the people who were involved in this crossed the line from hard-nosed politics into crime. And what makes it more instructive and more interesting than just what Republicans have tried to dismiss as sort of a, local New Hampshire peccadillo, is the fact that we found back in December, as I was starting to say before, that as they were hatching this plan, they were calling the White House. They were calling the political office of the White House an incredible number of times, something like several times a day and over 100 times in the month leading up to the election. So it, you know, raised a lot of questions to us as to whether, as to how high this scandal actually went. Was it just actually a New Hampshire scandal, or had it been directed from higher?
Of course, I have a very low opinion of Republicans, Christy, so I'm inclined to believe that, you know, the answer is higher. But it's in essence, we're getting to the point in time where we're asking that telling what did they know and when did they know it question. Is that sort of where we are?
That's exactly right. And the way that came about was, immediately after it came out that there had been a number of calls to the White House made by people who have since gone to jail for the phone jamming crime, there was a hearing in New Hampshire in which the New Hampshire Democratic Party said, wait a minute, if they were calling the White House, we should be allowed to ask questions of people at the White House or the RNC. We should be able to talk to the people that they were talking to as they were committing this crime. And that's actually what happened today, is a judge said that, that's right, they gave the go-ahead to the Democrats in New Hampshire that will allow them to actually depose high-level Republican operatives at, you know, formerly at the White House, at the RNC, and at the National Republican Senatorial Committee, who may have been involved, had some knowledge of, or even directed this crime. People including Ken Mellman, who was, you know, the former political director at the White House at the time, now
right.
chair of the RNC.
And Ed Gillespie.
And then some of the people who were, that we know were more directly involved. Ken Mellman's deputy at the White House was a woman, Alicia Davis. She was the recipient of, as I said, about 100-plus calls from James Tobin, who's since been convicted of this.
What's Alicia Davis doing now?
I believe she still works for RNC.
Oh, mercy. Well, I saw a story the other day, Christy. You mentioned the phone, the outfit that took on the task of this phone jamming. They supposedly, that thing went out of business a couple of years ago. Is that correct?
Well, it went out of business when the people who ran it started getting indicted. But that's right.
But it's not really gone, is it?
It's not really gone. There's a couple interesting stories here. One is that the firm that that contracted out the calls is a firm called GOP Marketplace. GOP Marketplace was owned in part by Alan Raymond, who, as I said, has gone to jail for his role in this scandal. But it was only partly owned by Alan Raymond. It was actually about one-third owned by Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour.
Yes.
Also former chair of the RNC himself.
He's the one that George Bush sat on the porch with or something after Hurricane Katrina. And said,
oh, I believe that's right.
Yeah, we're going to rebuild your house, you poor fellow. Yeah, that guy.
Right, it was a vacation home, I believe. So it was part owned by him as well. And that was, he actually not just owned it, but he provided the initial startup financing for it. He gave the company a $250,000 loan. There was a, you know, beautiful, glowing press release with a statement from him talking about how this is, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread. That company stayed in business till 2003, as I said, right as all the, you know, phone jamming scandal was going down and their role in it was coming out. But as it turns out, that company is still operating under a different name called Telus Communications.
Right. With the same or similar officers.
That's right, exactly.
And I mean, do we know if they have any business going right now? Is this something? I mean, are they working going into the 2006 elections?
I mean, they are. I'm not sure how much business they're getting, and obviously they're a little tied up right now. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible. Another person who has already gone to jail, already served time, is the former New Hampshire Republican Party Executive Director, Chuck McGee.
Yes.
Shortly after he got out of jail, he went on to hold a GOP campaign school in New Hampshire where the flyers said, you know, we'll give you all the tools you need to succeed.
They're brazen about it, aren't they, Christy?
I'm sorry?
They're brazen about it.
Oh, absolutely. They're brazen. And, I mean, what's incredible is that the Republican Party keeps these guys employed just keeps giving them jobs. When James Tobin went to jail, he had, letters of support from people like Senator Susan Collins in Maine, from his former boss, Steve Forbes. I mean, you know, very high-level Republican operatives and elected officials.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't one of, Terry Nelson?
Terry Nelson, exactly.
He's up to his neck in all of this, it would appear. And he's working for McCain now.
That's right. Terry Nelson has obviously had a role in a couple of scandals in 2002. Not just the New Hampshire phone jamming scandal, but of course also had some ties to Jack Abramoff.
Yes.
So,
well, I mean, you know, we're talking about Republicans. Who doesn't have ties to Jack Abramoff?
Right, but, you know, had his role in the DeLay scandal as well. So, but that's right. And right now he's, currently employed at the Straight Talk America PAC for John McCain. But Terry Nelson is one of the people that, as I said, now with the Democratic Party in New Hampshire getting the go-ahead today from the judge, they'll be allowed to depose people like Terry Nelson. So finally, we're going to be able to get to the bottom. 4 years, 4 indictments, 3 jail terms later, we might actually get to ask some tough questions of these people who have, up to this point, avoided taking the stands and said that they had no role in it.
Does this... In getting these depositions, Christy, is there hope that there could be more criminal charges?
I mean, really all we're looking for is we want some answers and we want some accountability. We owe it to a skeptical public who believes in the efficacy of democracy and of election laws. We owe it to them to find out who did this, who paid for it, and to hold them accountable. We haven't seen that up to this point.
Well, I have watched this, as I mentioned coming into the interview, I've watched this thing develop over the course of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but be reminded how Watergate started out as a little penny-ante burglary.
That's right.
And the next thing you know, it involves the President of the United States, the people who are closest to the President of the United States, and knowing... There's a bigger picture here, Christy. Knowing what we now know about Choice Point and the Florida purge list,
mm-hmm.
and the lists that were used in Ohio in 2004, and following this case, this isn't one of those aliens abducted my election program. Well, I don't do that. But I feel like I'm being led to a conclusion that fair elections are something that the Republican Party sort of loathes.
Yeah.
Am I off base?
Well, the most ironic thing about this is that while this is all going on, in 2004, right at the time where the Democratic Party was launching their civil suit against the Republicans when Chuck McGee and Alan Raymond were actually being arrested for their role in the scandal, Ken Mellman issued a release saying that calling for a zero tolerance policy for election fraud and voter suppression in the elections. Meanwhile, he knew exactly what had been going on in this, in this case. So it's absolutely brazen. We now know that people at the White House, the Republican National Committee, the NRSC, the governor of Mississippi, people at the highest levels of government, must have been aware of what was going on in New Hampshire and must have been tacitly supporting it. Actively supporting it.
Yeah, and it's worth remembering that particular contest between John Sununu and Gene Shaheen
was hotly contested.
That's right.
It could have gone either way, and if I recall, it wasn't a landslide for Mr. Sununu.
In the end, he won by about 20,000 votes.
And even in New Hampshire, that's not exactly a boatload.
That's right. That's right. No, it was a very contested election, and they were clearly afraid that they were going to lose. So, I mean, otherwise, certainly this kind of thing wouldn't have come into play.
Well, Christy, is there a lesson as we go into 2006? Is there a lesson? Is there something that people can be on the alert for? This is a nationwide program. This isn't a New Hampshire issue.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the lesson to be learned here is that I think it says a great deal about the different parties' approaches to free and fair elections. That at the same time that Democrats were trying to get out the vote, Republicans were trying to stop the vote. I just think it says a lot about our view of democracy.
Well, it certainly does. I would prefer to stop this before it can happen again, however. And it's viewing cases like this, you know, on this program, we call it head-on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we try to approach issues. And we do a lot of dot connecting. And reading what happened happened with the judge in New Hampshire allowing these depositions to go forward, I couldn't help thinking about the fact that the Republican Congress somehow just quite can't stomach the idea of reauthorizing the Voting Rights Act.
Voting Rights Act, of course. Right.
This is sort of a poster child for the Voting Rights Act, isn't it?
It's also, absolutely, and it's also a poster child for a coalition of various Republican scandals. I mean, you've actually seen in this case people who've played roles such as Jack Abramoff, Tom DeLay have all had roles in this case. You're going to see, Ken Melman. Basically, it's a who's who of Republican corruption that have been involved in the New Hampshire phone jamming scandal.
Yeah, all these people that I've had to sit for the last 6 years and watch call me as a liberal and a progressive un-American.
Mm-hmm.
Were at the same time actively involved in trying to literally stop the democratic process in this nation. I mean, is that a fair characterization?
No, absolutely. And there's a level of hypocrisy here that is astronomical. So people have to be on the lookout and be aware. I mean, we didn't know this was going on, but and be on the lookout for these sorts of hardball tactics. One of the people who, when he got out of jail, Alan Raymond, he gave an interview to the Boston Globe, and he said that this was just part and parcel of Republican hardball tactics.
So voter suppression is just another day at the Republican office.
That seems to be what he was saying.
That's depressing, Christy.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating, too. You can haul out, you can do all the July 4th stuff with the banners and the marching bands and the flags and the fireworks, and you can think about all the people who have died, literally died, for democracy, for freedom, for that right to vote. And a couple of people, because the thing that I think is most distressing about that, we've talked about this company, Christy, but it's a few people with a few decent-sized computers and a dialing program.
Right.
It was a computer with a dialing program and, one or two numbers, this get-out-the-vote effort, and all it did was sit there and constantly dial it so that no one could dial in. Yeah, is that basically how it worked?
Right. It was actually, it was about 800 hang-up calls where they would just call these phone lines and hang up. And they certainly got the bang for their buck. I mean, it only cost them about $2,000 is what they paid to this little firm out in Idaho that actually made the hang-up calls. But you know what? They're going to have to pay for it now because the guy who was most recently indicted, Sean Hansen, the guy who owned the Idaho firm, he's actually not being bankrolled by the RNC like James Tobin was. His legal defense is not an army of well-paid RNC lawyers. He's actually being represented by a public defender. And what he said last week, his lawyer filed a motion saying that they intend to argue, or they could argue, at their trial in the fall, that he believed he was acting at the behest of the White House and the RNC.
Well, and see, that's I guess that's where I maybe that's we that's the next step in this process, and that is to at some point, can someone roll over and really start start talking? I mean, my guess is if I sent a letter to this particular individual, I would say stay off of small aircraft and don't have dinner in Aspen.
Well, yeah, we got to keep this guy protected. But
yeah.
I mean, but the message is clear. I mean, he's not gonna take this lying down. And if there were other people higher than him that were telling him this is okay, then he seems willing to expose them for their role in it.
So the suit that is ongoing now, what is the nature of the suit? I mean, you know, Sununu was elected.
Right.
We're stuck with him for at least two more years in New Hampshire. It's not like we can go back and say, well, you know, you cheated. Give Gene Shaheen the seat.
Right.
Is this a suit for damages?
It is. But, I mean, first of all, there's two things that are going on. There is, as I said, there's a continuing ongoing criminal trial process.
But this isn't part of that.
This is not part of that. But then there's also a civil suit that the New Hampshire Democratic Party brought against the New Hampshire Republican Party and a number of other actors, but basically the New Hampshire Republican Party. That suit is alleging, obviously, that the Republicans interfered with their phone systems on Election Day in 2002, and they're seeking compensation for it. But really, more important, as I said, more important than any kind of monetary compensation is just getting the truth, is just finding out finally these, you know, long-held questions that we've had about what really happened here.
Well, my purpose in contacting you was to try to flesh this story out a little bit because it is rather complex.
It's incredibly complex.
How much traction has this gotten in the national media?
I think up to this point, as I said, it has been largely dismissed as a local issue. It's gotten a ton of press in New Hampshire, where it is just in the news almost every day there, where actually there was a poll that showed a month or two ago 20% of people said they're more likely to vote Democratic in New Hampshire in November because of this phone jamming scandal. So it actually could very likely impact the midterm elections, maybe in New Hampshire, but also possibly in the greater New England area. However, in the national media, it's gotten less traction. But I think that will certainly change once big names like Ed Gillespie start getting deposed.
Well, I certainly hope so. Is there a time frame now, Christy?
Pretty much as soon as possible. I mean, just has to work with the lawyers' schedules and the witnesses' schedules. But subpoenas will start going out. Now, of course, expect the Republicans to fight this tooth and nail because that has been their MO this entire time. They have, spent millions of dollars to shut this down, to stonewall it at every single turn. They actually, and this is important too, the Republicans had a motion that was denied today as well, to put off the trial until well after the November election. That motion was denied. So now the civil suit trial will take place the end of November. So when the National and Republican Party and the New Hampshire Republican Party would surely like to be dealing with other things, this November instead, and in the months leading up, they will be spending their time, money, and energy still on phone jamming.
Okay, so there's a possibility that, and your organization, which is SenateMajority.org, is that correct?
SenateMajority.com.
I'm sorry. SenateMajority.com, the Senate Majority Project. You will be watching this with a hawk's eye.
That's right. Absolutely.
And when the will you be getting copies of the deposition transcripts and that sort of thing?
Absolutely.
When that happens, would you please put me on your email list? I'd like to follow up.
Absolutely, we will.
Christy Setzer, thank you very kindly for joining us. I hope we can help just a little bit to get this story out, because it's another day in Republican politics, but it's sort of the lifeblood of the nation.
Absolutely. We really appreciate it.
Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye. I really appreciate folks who can join us. She's off the clock. Christy Setzer from SenateMajority.com. And you know, it's New Hampshire, way up there. It's cold, rainy, almost Canada. No, I'm not denigrating New Hampshire. It's beautiful up there. The Granite State. But Republicans think about it that way. Oh, well, nobody will ever notice if we, you know, it's just 800 dial and hang up phone calls. All we want to do is make sure that the Democrats can't get people out to the polls to stop John Sununu. Right? Yeah, right. So the question I have to ask, and there was really no point in asking Christie about it, how many times did this happen somewhere else in the United States, and they didn't get caught? You know, there's a saying out there among cops who man speed traps that, well, you know, it's a speed trap, and I got him speeding, but the chances are the one time I got him, he's gone speeding 100 times without getting caught. So they kind of had it coming, even if it's a speed trap. Well, can you? We're dealing with Republicans here, and I have to think that okay, they got caught in New Hampshire. What happened in Florida, Ohio? Was it New Mexico or Arizona, where by virtue of some weird miracle of demographics, once again, Native Americans went to the polls and for some inexplicable reason in 2004 just didn't want to vote for president. Well, you know, maybe one great white father is the same as another great white father in Washington. Oh, I'm going to get into it. But in a presidential election, you go out, people go out, I mean, the numbers make it very clear. You get a higher turnout in a presidential election. Your people go out to vote for president. And yet, by some miracle of optical scanning or touch screening or something along, or maybe, you know, maybe it's phone jamming or, you know, don't you dare show up. How many different dirty tricks are there that the Republican Party will use to stop people from exercising the single most precious franchise that this country has to offer its citizenry? How many voter purge rolls? And again, the other hitch in all of this is that there are commonalities. In New Hampshire, it was a phone jamming thingy. Using an automated dialer. In Florida, it was a felon roll. It's all databasing. Using computers for evil purposes. Let's take a break. Let's give voting a chance. Oh, God. Don't sing, Bob. We'll be back. This is the Head On Radio Network.
The tenant in apartment A is brushing with Brand X toothpaste, which is designed to better help whiten teeth and remove tartar buildup. While the tenant in apartment B
is brushing with Gamma Fresh. Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste, now with radioactive mutagen. It's the only toothpaste designed to turn you into a giant gelatinous blob with powerful laser beam vision. 4 out of 5 mad scientists agree you'll be an unstoppable killing machine with healthier teeth and gums if you use Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste.
Oh my God, it's destroying the city!
Looks like someone's been brushing with Gamma Fresh. Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste, another fine product of Scumco.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This collect call is from a CDC inmate.
These are the sounds of gangster rap. These are the sounds of gangster life. There's a difference.
Take him away, Wade.
You don't want to get caught up in gangs.
From his death row cell in San Quentin, Crips co-founder and Nobel Peace Prize nominee Stanley Tookie Williams has a special message for you.
If you're in a gang, get out. As much as you might want to fit in, don't join a gang. You won't find what you're looking for. All you'll find is trouble, pain, and sadness. I want to do my part to help reverse the violent, self-destructive trend of boys and young men that threatens to obliterate your future. I've turned my life around. You can too. I'll show you how. Visit me at Tookie.com. I have a message for you. There's always a way out.
While they're sitting on their porch having coffee in Beirut. I love that song. Thank you for playing it, Agnes.
And thank you,
ELO fan, for sending it along. I'm not making light of it. But like I said, at the top of the show, it's just not getting any better.
Yeah, it will.
How many? They got the filthy Republicans got caught once in New Hampshire. How many times didn't they? And if calls were coming in from New Hampshire saying, "Boss, how can we keep them from voting this time?" Don't you think that kind of had to be part of a plan? Just New Hampshire? There were more contested races than New Hampshire. Far more contested races than New Hampshire. Where else did they do this? What other hotly contested states did they do this in and just not get caught? Do you remember the excuse that the Republican Party trots out every time you talk about what an evil, felonious thug Richard Nixon was? I've heard it a million times. Well, all presidents do it. It's just that Nixon got caught. You've heard it too, haven't you? Sure you have. But see, it's still... No. I don't like that mindset that says, well, you know, it's only a crime if you get caught. No, it's a crime while you're committing it. It's a crime when you're thinking about committing it. The crime that it is while you're thinking about committing it is called conspiracy. And you see, we've gotten to a point in the United States where the Republican Party, if only their names ended in vowels, the FBI would be on them and calling them, a RICO shop. Racketeer-influenced corrupt organization. When you have high-ranking political officials like Ed Gillespie, like Ken Melman, like, not Gina Davis. No. No, Alicia Davis, Terry Nelson. When they're sitting around agreeing that they're going to make sure that New Hampshire Democrats can't get the vote out. Sunshine, that's a racket. That is a sure enough racket. Racketeer-influenced corrupt. Do we need to define the, this is sort of the elemental analysis. Do we need to define corrupt? Do we need a laundry list of what it is to be a Republican and be corrupt? But I repeat myself. Organization. Well, they are that. A racketeer-influenced corrupt organization. See, I cherish my vote. I was raised to cherish my vote. Even my high school government teacher made sure that all the 18-year-olds got to go on a field trip down to the courthouse and register to vote. Did it every year. He was a great teacher. Got to vote. But there is nothing in the United States of America right now to suggest that your vote is gonna get counted. We have to rely on the good graces of Diebold and ES&S, owned by a pair of brothers, a pair of right-wing fundamentalist brothers at that. As to whether or not our vote gets counted, and of course, it's handy as in New Hampshire. It is handy if you can just keep them from going to the polls, because then you don't have to worry about counting them. How many problems can we ascribe to the failure of our country to count its votes? It's November 2000. And the Bush camp, the Gore camp comes out and says, we believe all votes should be counted. The Bush camp comes out and says, no, they shouldn't. I mean, the year 2000, the United States of America and one presidential candidate, have we forgotten? I haven't. That one presidential candidate came out and said, we shouldn't count all the votes. What does it tell you? He's just Bush bashing. We've got to... Do we go to the news, dear? Okay, to the phones very quickly. David is with us, calling from Tennessee. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Well, hi there. Yes. Okay, you Bush bash for a while. Now, I'll take over.
Oh, okay, fine.
I forget the gentleman's name, and I'll use the term loosely, but he's the guy that is the Catherine Harris of Ohio.
Oh, Kent Blackwell.
Oh, yeah, that's the guy. And if this needs to, splash over on the other side of the news, that's fine, too. So just, abruptly tell me to hush up.
No, is your battery okay? I don't want to lose you.
Let me tell you about my battery.
Okay, well, let's do splash over to the other side of the news. I just wanted to make sure we didn't lose you.
No.
Okay, I worry about these things. We care.
What a caring, sensitive host to the odd.
Well, we try. Mama tried. Mama tried.
Well, just me and my battery. We'll be here.
Okay, stand by, David. Thanks.
Bye, Chell.
All right. Yeah, we'll bring it into the present. Ken Blackwell. and Ohio. And I think I saw some comments from Hillary about all of that. This is the Head On Radio Network. If you want to join in the program, because it is yours as much as mine, this is not a vanity affair. This is a matter of communication and dialogue. Jump right in. 877-443-2366. I got the vein opening music going tonight. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
This is the Quality News Network. Israel has reportedly launched a second attack on Beirut's only airport, dropping missiles and setting fuel tanks on fire. The airport was shut down after the first attack, in which Israel bombed two of the runways. Israel has also blockaded Lebanese ports and military air bases. More than 50 people have been killed in Lebanon since yesterday. Israel is accusing the militant Islamic group Hezbollah of firing more than 100 rockets into Israel, at least two of which struck an Israeli port. But Hezbollah denies it was behind the attacks. So far, 8 Israeli soldiers and 2 civilians have died in the fighting. From Germany, President Bush expressed support for Israel today and blamed Hezbollah for the escalating violence. He also said Syria should be held accountable for supporting and harboring Hezbollah. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is urging Israel to exercise restraint. At the United Nations today, the U.S. vetoed a resolution that condemns Israel for its incursion into the Gaza Strip. Troops began entering more than 2 weeks ago following the abduction of an Israeli soldier. Arab states backed the resolution, while 4 countries abstained. In Iraq, coalition forces have handed over security duties in a southern province to Iraq. Iraq's prime minister called it the first step toward full Iraqi control of all 18 provinces by the end of 2007. At the G8 summit this weekend, Russia and the U.S. are expected to discuss a deal in which Russia would store the world's used reactor fuel. It's a major policy change for the U.S., which previously opposed working with Russia because it has been helping Iran with its nuclear program. In Russia today, CIA officer Valerie Plame and her husband sued Vice President Dick Cheney, his former top aide, and presidential advisor Karl Rove. They accuse the men of trying to destroy her career by revealing her identity. Also in Washington, the House voted today to renew the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which stems from the Civil Rights Movement. That's despite opposition by conservatives in the South who want less federal oversight in their states. In Tasmania, a former oil executive said that as oil supplies dwindle, some nations may soon try to overturn an oil drilling ban in Antarctica. It's protected under the Madrid Protocol, but that protection can be lifted if all 28 signatory countries agree. In San Bernardino, California, mandatory evacuations have been announced as firefighters continue battling 2 fires.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Labor Department reports that new applications for unemployment benefits rose last week to 332,000. The data suggests that auto part shutdowns contributed to the increase. Facing competition from rival AMD, Intel has announced coming layoffs. 1,000 management jobs are expected to be eliminated worldwide. Tyson Foods also plans to cut 420 jobs, most of them management positions, and not fill another 430 currently unfilled positions. That comes amid slow sales of beef, chicken, and pork. A South Korean businessman was found guilty today in connection with the United Nations oil for food scandal. He was accused of being an Iraqi agent and trying to influence a UN program. A New Jersey jury has found Merck not liable in the death of an elderly woman who suffered a heart attack after taking the medication Vioxx. It was the first time jurors were asked to determine whether the company should have warned patients about the drug's risks instead of just physicians. Microsoft says that a European Union fine against it for $357 million will not affect the launch of Windows Vista, its newest operating system. It's expected to be out by January. Light sweet crude settled at $76.70 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 167 points, NASDAQ down 36, S&P 500 down 16. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Alrighty then. We can go anywhere you want this hour. Do you have an opinion on Israel starting starting what smells a whole lot like World War III? The concerted efforts by the Republican Party to literally end democracy in the United States. I think that's where David was going when he called from Tennessee. He's still with us. David, thanks for waiting. I appreciate it.
Yes, David was going right there because just like the story from that incredibly articulate, informed, and dedicated woman that was on earlier, boy, many thanks, great praises, all the kudos in the world, atta persons all around for getting that one to air, because I haven't heard a word about that. That was all news in with a capital N to me. So way to go, Bob.
Oh, cool.
But getting back to Mr. Blackwell, not the one that just talks about fashion that doesn't quite come up to stuff. We're talking about the one that's dangerous for the American election process.
Yes.
There's an underlying interest in the story that's beginning to surface. It may not go anywhere, but it's interesting to me that at least it's being sought after. The back of the story is that the nice folks in Ohio, through their elected officials, said, we're going to buy these voting machines. Okay, first mistake. We're going to buy them from, this local firm. Let's not go too far into that because we know what that rat hole looks like.
Yep.
And an objective third party that the state had hired says, all right, really make this work, you nice folks, to have this be what you want it to be. There needs to be 5,000 of these voting machines bought, installed, set up, monitored, you know, everybody checked out, and life will be good because you will have the desired outcome. People will be able to vote in your state. And lo and behold, from behind the curtain comes the decision that, for reasons that were cloudy at the time and are beginning to look really suspicious, somebody somewhere said, nope, we're not buying 5,000 of those machines. We're buying 3,000 of those machines. All right. Now, right at this moment, Bob, the hairs on the back of your neck should begin to twitch.
Yeah, I got a little tangle.
Yeah, well, Blackwell decided where the 3,000 would go.
Yeah, and they didn't go into the McMansion neighborhoods, the McMansion precincts, did they?
Well, of course they did. They damn sure didn't go into the neighborhoods where heavy.
Oh wait, okay, I'm bass ackwards. I apologize.
You're upside down on that one. They all went to where it would make it easy for Muffy and Eric to breeze through the polling place on the way to the club.
Gotcha. Sure. Yeah. No lines in Muffy and Eric's precinct.
But if you had gotten up at 5 in the morning to go to a job that paid $9.17 an hour in downtown Cleveland, and you begged your boss to let you get off at 3 to go vote, you were still in line at 8 when they closed the poll.
Yes.
And it happened by a 10-to-1 margin on where the machine showed up and where it was wintertime and voting was easy.
Well, what was it?
There was a franchise denied by Blackwell, and that's what's interesting now. The decision to do that was not a budgetary consideration. It's beginning to creep out from under the rug, out from under the rock, actually, that it was orchestrated. Nope. We're going to say we can only afford this many, and then Mr. Blackwell, I'll decide where they go.
Well, and it's not Ken Blackwell. If we can imagine it, and I find it difficult to even make this comparison. He makes Catherine Harris look ethical. Is that the word I'm looking for? I know, because...
Just ruined another word in our fine language.
I know. Off to the trash heap with ethics. Well, now the Republicans kind of did that anyway. But, no, seriously, the tale of two colleges. There was a Nazarene college. Hardcore Bush-loving, you know... And kids went in and out, and voters went in and out of that precinct. In they vote, out they're gone. Boom, 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 boom. All day long. Had more than enough voting machines. Now you slide over to Columbus.
Could it be that there's the Ohio equivalent of Tennessee State University?
Yes.
Known as Tennessee A&I when Deacon Jones played there.
Right.
Ago.
Yeah, lots of Kerry voters, lots of liberal voters, lots of progressive voters. They got one machine.
And the line went around the building.
And around and would have stretched to Mars if you'd... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the rain. In the snow.
Right.
David, I remember the news reports. I remember on CNN a little girl being interviewed in freezing rain and sleet and snow saying, I'm going to... And, you know, teeth chattering and shivering, and I'm going to stay here and I'm going to vote. And she was in line at 8.
Oh, exactly. But now, this is the same party, don't I understand, that has responded to their Southern brethren? This Voting Rights Act is an anachronism. It is a thing of the past. We've been penalized long enough. We need to let this keep them away from... Oh, no, I don't want to say that.
Interesting you should bring it up, David. I have here the words from the Los Angeles Times of one Representative Lynn Westmoreland, Republican, from the great state of Georgia. You might want to sit down for this one, David. Quote, do you think we treat Japan or Germany differently because of World War II? Do we treat the British any differently because of the Stamp Act? If we're going to do that, then let's go back to the Indians and say they butchered Custer. This was Lynn Westmoreland's response to the renewal of the Voting Rights Act.
Please tell me he said that the first time they were voting on that. Please don't tell me somebody in the last 72 hours.
No, sorry. No, that's not Lester Maddox. No, that's not Lester Maddox's press secretary. No, that's in the last... Yeah, that's in the discussion of whether to reauthorize the Voting Rights Act. In other words, we in Georgia are being put upon for that failed revolution what we done started by firing on Fort Sumter. It's the Voting Rights Act. Oh, but it gets better. It gets better. I got another one. Can I share another one with you, David?
What's what's the next thing that guy's going to say? We've let the Negroes vote long enough?
Pretty much. Wait. No, you're prescient. You're prescient, David. I got Representative Steve King, Iowa, for you.
Where?
Iowa.
Oh, my Lord. And I always thought that state was a trifle progressive. Oops. Oh, hell.
And I quote, "The party is engaged in group politics. I reject the idea of doing that. We are all created in God's image. He draws no distinction between race, skin color, or national origin. It's an insult to him for us to do so in our public policy in America." Unquote.
He's been going to Chuck Colson's little Bible study classes in that prison out there in the middle of nowhere, Iowa.
But do you see how? Yeah, do you see how they turn this stuff on its head? The Voting Rights Act is racist. I mean, that was said. None other than that genius from Mobile County, Alabama, Jeff Sessions.
Oh, you're so proud of him, aren't you?
Second stupidest man in the Senate.
Oh, God.
If Rick Sanctum Santorum wasn't there, he'd have the crown. But, he said, you know, it's racist to presume that only the South can suppress votes. Well, you know, I got to agree with him on that, because they suppressed a whole lot of minority votes in Ohio and New Hampshire.
Yeah, there's always a tiny grain, a small kernel of truth for them to build a mountain of lies upon. And, you know, it's kind of like that kernel of truth is the hook. The American public, you know, swallows the hook, and then there's 100 yards of unbreakable line that pull them over the, you know, pull them into the live well.
Oh, and brother, it's 200-pound test, too.
Oh, yeah, it ain't going to break. No. And, well, we may have beaten on that one enough.
No, I don't think we, I mean, not, well.
Oh, no, somebody will get back to it, but there is one thing. I wanted one minor offering because I
yes.
have a minor update, and I want to speak clearly and as flat as possible, you know, be a total square beep white guy and not really modulate much, avoid the preacher fine. The Israeli press, the Israeli government, and the Israeli military was jubilant today because in bombing the home, and this is the part where, you know, in another day and another time and another situation, you and I would have a laugh out of it. The third-ranking Hezbollah strategist was killed, and they were trumpeting this to the highest, except verified, not counting the neighbors, not counting the passersby around this man's home, his wife, one older relative, and 10 children of a long marriage met their end with him. And there was no mention of the wife, the older relative, and the 10 children.
That would be 10.
10, 1, 0. Just the fact that some woman in a country under those difficult circumstances had given birth to 10 living offspring. And they were all there, they were all together. Now, the man's politics and the man's view of life, whether he's a freedom fighter or a terrorist, that's for somebody else to discuss and decide and pass judgment on. But when the Israeli press and the Israeli military and their leadership is thrilled that they got the third-ranking strategist by killing 12 of his relatives whose only crime was being related by choice or blood to that man, it makes me regret every bit of support and affirmation that I've given the state of Israel, because what they were 35 years ago when most of my opinions were formed and where they are now, they're, if it weren't for the United States stopping it, the entire world would know for sure that Israel is the absolute definition of a rogue state right now.
Yes. Yes.
And they have their bucket in our military well. If they ask for it, we are committed to give it to them. And George Bush, for a myriad, it's an ugly onion when you start peeling it back, whether it's oil, whether it's apocalyptic Christians, end of the world prognosticators, all of this stuff, it sickens me that our blind devotion to the state of Israel is used in the way that it's used.
And it's the why.
Hold on for just a second.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Just this one last item. All of this is being done to free three soldiers. Three. That's what started all of this. They captured or kidnapped, depending on how you want to look at it. The other side, those that have had the Israeli boot on their neck, for various reasons, some good, some bad. Three soldiers. All of this is for three soldiers.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Now, your turn.
Okay. I wanted to mention something to you because, you know, something you might want to take a look at. I heard about this last night because, as are many of the listeners to this program, I'm a big fan of Mike Malloy. And he mentioned a website that I had never seen before, and I went and had a look, and... If you want to get to the real core of why it is that the support for any, you know, Israel can literally do no wrong in the views of this Republican government, and if you want to find out where that base is, and I mean base in the terms of not just the ground level, but base as in its more negative connotations. There is a website out there called RaptureReady.com.
Well, just the title is scary.
This is one of those things where you want to make sure dinner's already settled down and on its way, you know, past your stomach, because it will come up it'll come back if you go and read it too soon after. You know, it's like going into a swimming pool. You know, not till two hours after dinner. There, I went and looked last night after hearing Mike mention it. And it was the most sickening thing I have ever seen on a website, and I include Nazis. There were people on this message board babbling, monkeying back and forth, cheering the development of this war in Israel because they believe. In the dirtiest form of that word, they believe if Israel can just get it hot enough, Jesus will come rolling back on his golden Escalade.
Well, they're begging for that.
And yes. And the sad, you know, the sad thing under that, and the thing I've harped on time and time again, the thing that I wish the Jewish community in America would understand is that they're only rooting for all of this because when Jesus comes back on his golden Escalade, that means they get to start putting Jews to the sword. So the new Jerusalem can come. As I understand it, the Israelis are perfectly happy with the old Jerusalem, David.
Yes, they are.
Well, these people aren't. They are cold-blooded killers, and they do so in the name of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. And it's all, if you go and look at this thing, it's all full of, come, Lord Jesus, come. And it's all full, you know, and it's, well, you know, the we haven't gotten all of the enemies from Isaiah, you know, 62 or 32nd flip-floppians or... You know, and we've got to have Gog and Magog.
You know, in my wilder thinkings, Bob, I swear, I think these repressed, pinned-in, hateful people that refuse to address life as it can be in its fullest, I think in their subconscious, they're expecting all the orgasms they've denied themselves to happen every time that sword goes through a Jewish heart.
Yes. That's sick.
I'm serious. I think that's part of it. They couldn't be that driven over just simply a religious conviction. There's got to be some horrible, repressed. Oh, well, anyway.
Yeah, but it's mean, it's spiteful, and it is the cause of George. You know, George Bush has no other reason not to intervene in this. But he knows that if he intervenes and tries to stop the killing, he will make Pat Robertson mad. He will make Jerry Falwell mad. He will make James Dobson mad. He will make James Robison mad, and Jimmy Swaggart, and D. James Kennedy down at the Coral Snake Ministries.
He'll cause the Reverend Hagee to just rent himself a Bradley fighting vehicle. He couldn't get in it. He's too fat. They'd have to tow him behind it in a trailer. But he would ride behind it in a trailer all the way to D.C. to confront W. over that.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I wasn't watching the time of the
No. Don't
quarter hour break.
Don't sweat it. Don't sweat it at all. I think this is important, David.
Well, if I agree or I wouldn't have called, but I know that by now that the calls are backed up, so I'm going to get out of the way and let some more folks have their way with it. But whether it's denying votes or perpetuating a hideous situation, if Bush were the guy that Jimmy Carter was, if Bush were even a half the diplomat that Bill Clinton was, there would be a plane with three skilled people doing exactly what you said. Let's forget this. Your invisible man in the sky gave you the dirt. No, you sit down over there. Your invisible man in the sky didn't give you the dirt either.
You sit down too. No ghost man on second.
Yeah. And right now, if you guys don't quit this, the reason you have a country is because the United States of America writes a bunch of checks. Sit the down, or the checks could go away. Well, I really think the big-eyed stare would overcome those guys, and some things could and should and would happen. But in the absence of that...
Well, I mean, we're the ones, David, that are building the Pax Americana, similar to the Pax Romana, okay? But most people forget how the Pax Romana was enforced. Most people forget that it was a function of the Pax Romana, which sent the legions into the Levant, and they just said, look, you're a pain in the ass, all of you.
You're dead.
Who they didn't kill, they sold into slavery or drove out of the land. I mean, that's the origin of the so-called diaspora. One of them.
Exactly. What's that website?
RaptureReady.com.
All right, I'm on the way there now.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, David. Thank you so much for all the points.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, Bob.
Bye now. Yeah, we've got a break coming up. RaptureReady.com. Go and look at the people who are at the ground zero of trying to blow up the world. And look at the fantasy land they live in. And you don't have to go far. I mean, it's, you know, a little way down the page, and it says chat, you know, message boards or whatever, and they won't let you register right now. God knows I tried. I wanted to go in there and sort of pretend to be one of their rapture buddies. I know, that's dishonest of me. I apologize. But no, go in and read it. Go in and read it. I hate to make their hit counters spin, but this is educational. You have got to see the people who are trying to start World War III. And it's all magic. It's all make-believe. It's got as much grounding as in reality as Mr. Rogers' King Friday the 13th. It's spooky stuff. It's creepy stuff. It's magic stuff. I read one post yesterday evening where, you know, this woman blathers on and on about, you know, and then the followers of the holy juniper bush shall therefore in this time of great tribulations, and a man shall not know his father from his uncle Sonny, and then at the bottom she says, and beware of the man who threatens to bring peace. Beware of the man who threatens to bring peace. Do you understand how these people have been programmed? No less than Hare Krishnas or Moonies, these people have been programmed, and they have been programmed to believe that anyone who advocates peace in the Middle East is bringing on the Antichrist. Hey, Jesus! 35 people are dead or more who had nothing to do with any of this. A woman drinking coffee on her balcony, rocketed to death by the Israelis, who had nothing to do with any of this. Guilty of drinking thick, sweet, syrupy coffee in a little tiny demitasse cup. Dead! Dead, damn it, dead! Because there are people in the United States, we gotta support Israel. Because then all the magic's gonna happen and Jesus is gonna come back and then we're gonna get to kill all the Israelite ladies. We are being driven down the road to perdition and damnation and worldwide destruction by the Tinkerbell crowd. Dear God, let's take a break. Your phone calls, they're welcome. 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. This is the Head On Radio Network. It's how we deal with issues. I'm sorry. I know there are people, Israel can do no wrong. Yes, they can, and yes, they are. I'm Bob.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The AFL-CIO blocked the entrance to the National Labor Relations Board in Washington, D.C. Thursday as about 700 demonstrators protested the board's anti-worker and anti-union decisions. AFL-CIO Organizing Director Stuart Acuff was one of the protesters, risking arrest as he blocked the NLRB entrance. Acuff spoke to Workers Independent News from the protest.
This is a culmination of a week of actions where 10,000 people in 20 cities have marched and rallied. It's a huge, huge crowd with a very heavy police present. We are picketing now and getting ready to block the doors of the NLRB and shut them down. George Bush and the Bush-appointed labor board is the most anti-worker president, most anti-collective bargaining National Labor Relations Board in the 71-year history of the labor board. We are saying today in this huge crowd to stop the assault on workers.
On Monday, Northwest Airlines could throw out its union contracts and impose its harsh concessions on flight attendants if no agreement is reached with the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA. The union is threatening a strike if its contracts are tossed. It's training Northwest flight attendants now in the use of the strike tactic, chaos, creating havoc around our system, so they'll be ready for action on Monday if need be. Union spokesperson Sarah Nelson.
There's no way for management to defend against it. There's no way for them to have replacement workers ready because there is no notice. Chaos is a closely guarded secret, and it only happens when we say it's going to happen. Management doesn't know, the public doesn't know, the media doesn't know. Only we know when it will happen. We certainly hope that this will help management come to terms with the fact that the best course of action for the airline and for all of the employees at Northwest Airlines and the passengers is to reach a deal that flight attendants can accept.
Democrats are resisting some changes that Southern conservatives want to make in the Voting Rights Act. The conservatives want to end the Act's Section 5 requirement that the Justice Department approve any changes in voting procedures. The NEA's Reg Weaver says keeping that Justice Department clearance is important to prevent obstructions of voting like this example.
If, in fact, there is an area that has a high concentration of African-American voters, you have 20 voting machines. And some people may not want to do the right thing and want to be evil. They will say, okay, but we're going to take care of that. Instead of 20 voting machines, we're going to put in 4 voting machines, which means that it makes it more difficult to vote. That's a violation of Section 5.
The IUECWA is trying to block Delphi from paying executives $60 million a year in bonuses. The United Steelworkers says Delphi management is being rewarded, while Delphi is using bankruptcy to slash wages and benefits and destroy jobs. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
True. 24 minutes and change before the hour, halfway through this Thursday night edition. I'm Bob Kincaid. That was our good friend Fritz from New Mexico. You guys, multi-talented. Multitasking, multi-talented. A new friend. Back up. I got sent a link by our good friend Mitch in Frisco, who sent me to a blog entry by a gentleman by the name of Gale called "This Train Won't Turn Left." And I want to share a little bit of it with you because I just heard from Gale telling me perhaps it's time for an e-assault on RaptureReady.com. See, that's the problem, though. They won't allow you to register, so you can't get in there and tell them that they're crazier than a sprayed roach. You can't do that. But and by the way, new listeners, I'm most remiss in not promoting our chat room quite as well as I should, because it's a great way to interact during the program. Head on radionetwork.com, click on chat room, bang, you're there. It's free, it's fun. Head on radionetwork.com, click chat room. But Mitch sent me to this blog posting, had the link. I went there, and I'm told that this thing is hard to find now. But daggum, what a great piece of writing! He writes, "I've spent thousands of hours the last 10 years studying politics, mostly focusing on national politics. Though I've attended many county commission meetings, sometimes becoming violently ill with the narrow-minded, myopic rulings. I'll save that for another day," he says. "The overall flavor of politics on the national level is one of extreme bitterness." Amen, brother. "This nation is reeling with anger at the way the runaway train of corruption and lies is taking us. The Democratic leadership in D.C. is paying big bucks for consultants, engineers, which are contaminated with corporate influence, the same corporate influence that controls the Republican Party. The idea behind their tempered middle road campaigns is to appeal to all the electorate so as not to offend anybody." And he says, "Well, dagnabbit, that offends me." And, you know, I read that and it went, yeah! Yeah, I am offended by the fact that my party doesn't have the guts to offend the people who... Oh, we don't want to offend the centrists, the independent middle-of-the-road voters. They don't exist. How many times do I have to say that? There are no independent voters. I mean, this is one of those sheep from the wolves kind of moments. The middle of the road didn't work in 2000. It didn't work in 2002. It didn't work in 2004. It won't work in 2006 or 2008 either. Go. Yay. The party should quit throwing away millions of dollars on such piss poor advice. And he writes, many brilliant minds feel there's really only one political party that exists in Washington since the Democratic Party began accepting corporate donations. They refer to the party as the Republican Democratic Party, which has for the last 30 years lost the ideals granted we the people over 200 years ago. Not only have they lost the ideals of our forefathers, they have lost their minds. Running government like a business of business and for business is as un-American as torture and preemptive war. Now, here's the list. Gail writes, if the Democrats are going to be the salvation of this nation, they need to begin by doing the following. Turn left. Cease taking corporate money. Return banking regulations to the states. Reinstitute and strengthen environmental protections. End media monopoly. End energy gasoline monopoly. Health care without insurance middlemen and drug companies siphoning off money. Provide permanent VA funding. Outlaw mercenaries and civilian contractors in U.S. war zones. Pledge to end corruption legislation for sale. Enact legislation that no lawmaker can ever become a lobbyist. Enact legislation that no retired military personnel can work for defense contractors. Outlaw ex-presidents from joining the Carlyle Group or accepting a seat on any corporate board. Outlaw ex-presidents accepting money for speeches. Ensure that IRS auditors attend evangelical churches regularly and pay them double time for Sunday work. Strengthen labor laws by ensuring every worker in the nation is able to join a union. Provide safeguards that unions cannot become corrupt. Provide legislation for capital punishment for corporate board members that Enron their stockholders. Provide legislation for capital punishment for corporations that utilize union busters. Surrender George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld to the Hague for war crimes trial. Damn. Yeah. Now, I'd add one thing in there. Because it wasn't, it's probably incorporated in one of those statements, but it wasn't exactly there. End electronic voter regulation. Elections will henceforth be held using the following high technology. Paper ballots, little bitty golf course pencils, and a box with a lock on it. Let's see, big metal can, slit in the top, hasp, master lock, paper ballots, little golf course pencils. I'm thinking all of that does not add up to the cost of one stinking Diebold machine. Wow, am I being fiscally conservative? Ooh, scary stuff. But those are real issues. And one of the reasons that I kind of hate bringing up the Israel thing, and it really has to be under my fingernails before I'll do it. One of the reasons I hate doing it is because if we thought, oh, Lord Jesus, if we thought that the immigration debate, the brown people must go back across that river and stay there where God put them in the first place. If we thought the immigration debate was a real dandy for splitting the liberal community, wait till you see what this one does. Because the liberal community will crack like an egg over Israel. Because, you see, there are some legitimate feelings about the creation or the right to exist of Israel that come. You know, there's the United States turned away boatloads. Oh yeah. You're not a right wing listener. You know lots of his stuff and cool groovy stuff like history. You know that the United States turned away boatloads of Jewish refugees from Europe who were subsequently slaughtered. You know that. Of course you do. And you know the story of the Holocaust, and you know that the world sort of sat there and went and twiddled its thumbs while 6 million people were really quietly exterminated. And after the close of World War II, there was a feeling of, oh, man, how did we let that happen? Oh, we screwed that one up bad. And so, and it, you know, proved to be a little bit convenient for Europe, because even though the Germans lost and the Holocaust was over, and it was, and the whole nasty thing, the whole evil thing, was exposed, still there was a little bit left in Europe that kind of said, you know, if we gave them a homeland of their own, maybe they'd leave and we wouldn't have the Jewish problem anymore. See, aren't we nice? We're going to give you a homeland. And then we can sort of deal with you at a distance and, you know, as far back as 1948, this stuff was going on in the United States. And so, you know, the United States government, okay, well, you know, the baby's on the doorstep. All right, rock-a-bye baby. I want people to be able to live in peace anywhere they are. I really have just about come to the conclusion that that if we, you know, took the United Nations seriously, we would declare Israel a not Israel but Jerusalem. We would declare Jerusalem a World Heritage Site, and absolutely make it bristle with UN forces. And the first person that stepped out of line gets rat slapped. Everybody here will behave, and it ain't nobody's capital and nobody's country, and ain't nobody gonna fight over it. Everybody gets it. That or else we build the New Jerusalem in Baja. You know, somewhere north of Cabo San Luca. Look, it's the New Jerusalem. There you go. I don't know who gets it. The Israelis, the Palestinians, the apocalyptic religion industry people are all about a New Jerusalem. Maybe we move them in. And they can sit there and start cattle farms and raise red heifers and all of that bizarre crap. You are not the red heifer, Agnes.
Moo.
You know, you're going to get mad at me, but I know that there is one off. You know, it's got to be a perfect red heifer. I mean, there can't be more than a hair or two that's not red. I mean,
fifth element red heifer.
I know. Hey, look, I know what goes on with, like, Lady Clairol and, yeah. Oh my God, what have I done? But no, seriously, to return to the point, if I can find it, yeah, it's here somewhere. I despise this issue. Because if the immigration thing didn't do a good enough job, this will split us like an egg. I'm sure that whether it be live or podcasted or whatever, somebody out there is saying, he's an anti-Semite. He hates the Jews. He's probably a Nazi. Because, you see, if you say something, if a liberal offers an Israeli a cold cup of coffee, he's a Nazi. And I reject that. I am pro peace, and the Israelis and the Palestinians are offending my sense of peace. I have enough of a problem dealing with the fact that my country is actively engaged in the slaughter of over a tenth of a million people about 800 miles to the east of the Mediterranean seashore. We need to end that war first, but of course, you know, maybe look. Israel is in the hip pocket of George Bush. George Bush is in the hip pocket of Israel. No, don't get the tinfoil helmets out and leave the black helicopters alone. But it's true, because George Bush is manipulated by the right-wing religion industry that believes in really bizarre magic. And as a result of that, do you think for an instant that Karl Rove would not use this to his advantage? People are dead. Of course he would. Slide over to Huffington Post. Alan Dershowitz blogs over there, and if you say, well, you know, maybe Israel might ought to stop rocketing little girls. Well, sure enough, Alan Dershowitz will write a blog thing. Well, you know, Bob Kincaid's an anti-Semitic, Nazi. And somebody else will write in and say, the poor Palestinians, blah, 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 blah. Well, the poor Palestinians are strapping dynamite belts to themselves and going to the bus stop that way. And the poor Israelis are using helicopter gunships that you and I paid for to rocket baby girls. Anybody here? English class. I know we got a couple of teachers in the chat room. English class. Today we're going to cover Shakespeare. Most particularly, we're going to take a look at Romeo and Juliet. When the play opens, if I recall correctly, there's a conversation between some Capulets and some Montagues that says, you know, we got to behave ourselves because the Doge or the Prince or whatever he's referred to as has put a threat of ban on us. And he has said that whoever breaks his peace, he will exile from the city. Sorry, I can't remember. Is it Verona? Is it Padua? Is it Genoa? Bologna? But that's how it begins. And then everything goes straight downhill from there. And by the end of Romeo and Juliet, at some point in time, this much spoken of but not seen prince makes his entry onto the stage, and he says something along the lines of, a pox. On both your houses. A pox on both your houses. And that's where I am right now. I'm disgusted with Israel. I am disgusted with the Palestinians. Because none of these SOBs want to live in peace. Oh, sure, sure. The peasants down there hard scrabbling along, living on dirt. They'd like to just continue breathing air and eating dirt. And yeah, the Palestinian peasants hate Israel. Because, you see, the Palestinian peasants are, many of them are peasants, because in 1948, their great-great-granddaddies, they had little farms with olive groves that, were, 50, 60, 100, 200 years old. And the Israelis moved in because the British, said, do it. And the United States said, sounds good to us. And the people who were living and had the olive groves, and they were Palestinians, and their family had been there for 2,000 freaking years. And they came in, and the Israelis set up shop, and they bulldozed the olive groves, cut it all down, built an apartment complex and said, go eat dirt. So yeah, the Palestinian peasants are a little pissed off. And, the Israelis, there's poor Israelis out there who are just trying to get by day to day. They'd like to be able to go to go down the street to the bakery without getting blown into their constituent parts by one of those pissed off Palestinians. But they don't, and they do get blown up, and they look at their government and go, go blow up some of those Palestinians. They blew my family up. The Israeli government, yowza. Yeah. And the next thing you know, and bombs are falling on Lebanon. Well, but the Iranians support Hezbollah. And I'm getting tired of this. It is. If only we had a government that actually believed in the power of the UN to do good. The whole cussed, a pox, sweet Lord God, a pox upon both their houses. We've got those Gulfstream 5s we send around the world to render terrorism suspects to different various and sundry countries. One of those needs to land somewhere in Israel. We need to send out some dudes, pick up the leader of Hamas, the leader of Hezbollah, and Ehud Olmert, and fly them to an undisclosed location and say, okay, you're going to work out your differences. And nobody gets a ghost man. We're going to come out of here with a peace agreement, or there's, or, you know. Okay? But this requires a determined effort. Jesus, God, Bill Clinton managed to help bring peace to the to Northern Ireland. And if you want a comparison for hatred, the hatred of the Irish Catholics for the Irish Protestants and for the it's about on the same par as what the because they're still mad about getting their land stolen from them in what, help me, 14th century, 15th century, which should be an object lesson to the entire world of how long a grudge can be held about having your land stolen. And the saddest thing out of every last bit of all this, the saddest cotton-picking thing out of is that it has, as I said, the potential to make otherwise committed liberals and progressives look at each other and say, killer. Well, I reject it. I'm disgusted with Israel, and I'm disgusted with the Palestinians, and I'm disgusted with the people who blindly support either side. There is no right in this conflict. There is no good in this conflict. It is evil from the start. It's evil in the morning. It's evil at noon. It's evil at night. It is evil, evil, evil. And it is being manifested by evil people on either side. Ehud Olmert, evil. Hamas dude, evil. Arafat, evil and dead. Evil, 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 evil. And I refuse to stand in support of evil people. Could that be a viable liberal response to this attempt to start World War III? We don't support evil people, and Olmert and Hamas dude and Hezbollah dude are evil, and we do not support them. How about that? Your thoughts. I really want to hear them. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid, non-evil person, non-supporter of evil. This is the Head On Radio Network.
We drop a D-bone. Pay, we say 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 pay, yo. Kick your ass, then we gonna come home. George Bush say that revenge come.
Payback come and we drop the bomb.
Load them bombs till the morning come.
Airplane come and we drop the bomb.
Come, Mr. Taliban, turn over Bin Laden.
Colin Powell gonna bomb his home.
Come, Mr. Taliban, turn over Bin Laden.
Payback come and
this is a Quality News Network. Israeli aircraft have struck the main highway between Beirut and Damascus, Syria's capital. It was not immediately clear if there were casualties. Israel has also launched a second attack on Beirut's airport, which was closed after an earlier attack. Meanwhile, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad cautioned against an attack on Syria. Israel continues to blame the militant group Hezbollah for firing more than 100 rockets into Israel. At least two of them struck a port, an attack one official called a major escalation. However, Hezbollah denies it had anything to do with those attacks. Oil prices rose to a record high in trading today, rising above $76 a barrel. Stocks also plummeted. We'll have the closing numbers at the end of this broadcast. In Mumbai, India, 2 days after the deadly train bombings that killed 200, the government's anti-terror squad released the names and photos of two suspects. Police have detained 350 people for questioning, but they have been neither charged nor arrested. In Iraq, coalition forces have handed over security duties in the southern province to Iraq. Iraq's prime minister called it the first step toward full Iraqi control of all 18 provinces. But across the country today, at least 19 people were killed in violent attacks. In South Korea, North Korean officials walked out of talks today with South Korean delegates a day before they were scheduled to end. The South has been trying to convince the North to return to the negotiating table about its nuclear program, but the North reportedly instead wanted to talk about a resumption of food assistance. In Washington, the House voted today to renew the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which stems from the civil rights movement. That's despite opposition by Southern conservatives who want less federal oversight in their states. The measure now heads to the Senate. In Washington today, Republican Senator Arlen Specter announced a deal over a bill to update the NSA's domestic spying program. The Bush administration has agreed to a court review of the program, and Congress has agreed not to make significant changes to the agreed-upon terms. In Washington today, CIA officer Valerie Plame and her husband sued Vice President Dick Cheney, his former top aide, and presidential advisor Karl Rove. They accuse the men of trying to destroy her career by revealing her identity. In California, mandatory evacuations have been announced as firefighters continue battling two fires in Southern California. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Labor Department reports that new applications for unemployment benefits rose last week to 332,000. The data suggests that auto plant shutdowns contributed to the increase. Facing competition from rival AMD, Intel has announced coming layoffs. 1,000 management jobs are expected to be eliminated worldwide. Tyson Foods also plans to cut 420 jobs, most of them management positions, and not fill another 430 currently unfilled positions. That comes amid slow sales of beef, chicken, and pork. A South Korean businessman was found guilty today in connection with the United Nations Oil for Food scandal. He was accused of being an Iraqi agent and trying to influence the UN program. A New Jersey jury has found Merck not liable in the death of an elderly woman who suffered a heart attack after taking the medication Vioxx. Merck faces more than 1,300 lawsuits involving the pain-killing drug. A European court today overturned the approved merger of Sony Bertelsmann AG. The music companies now must request clearance for another merger. Microsoft says that an EU fine against it for $537 million will not affect the launch of Windows Vista. It's expected to be released by January. Light sweet crude settled at $76.70 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 167 points, NASDAQ down 36, S&P 500 down 16. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour. I hope that made some sense, at least a little bit. Agnes tells me it did. I trust Agnes. But I am so infuriated with a people that would kill children to advance something as filthy as politics. Either side that would do that. And both sides are doing that in that conflict. We're doing it. Hey! The Israelis, they're probably 10,000-20,000 over the, but you know, we're, it took us two, 3 years to do over a tenth of a million women and children in Iraq. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Sue is calling from the United Kingdom. Hey, Sue, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. How are you tonight?
I'm a little frustrated, dear.
Yeah, this subject is one that always is strange. It doesn't get me angry anymore. It just saddens me deeply. I mean, I've always been sort of in favour of the Palestinian people, not their methods, but their right to have what was theirs to begin with. And what's going on at the moment is even dividing the population of Israel. You know, not all of the Israelis are in favour of what's going on.
No, only the hard right-wing Israelis are in favour of
this. As usual, it's our leader, it's the leaders that are causing the problem. I mean, that you talk about Hezbollah in Lebanon. I mean, they've created a whole new industry for themselves there after, I mean, I'm of an age, I don't know, you know, you're in your 40s, I'm in my 50s now. And I remember, you know, the mess that started off in Beirut.
Mm-hmm.
That this is being threatened again. And it, I mean, the destruction that's going on, and all because of the use of religion.
Yeah, is there any way you can analyze this and not see the problem, Sue, at the end of the day, as caused in whole, not in part, but in whole by religion?
Well, unfortunately, this is what's happened all through history, the organization of a religion, anything that gets people together, I mean, they try to say, oh, well, there's this cult and there's that cult. Christianity is a cult.
Sure. All religions start as a cult.
Any religion that says another, you know, if you ever get into a position where you've got to prove that you're right over something, you're in the wrong place.
Well, absolutely. And the thing is, when you start in a debate or a discussion by asserting, I am correct because my invisible critter said so and your invisible critter is wrong, there's no end to that debate and there is no good outcome, Sue.
Well, no, because it means that the side that states that has got a closed mind.
Yes.
That is what it shows, is that you are, if you start at that point, there is no opening, you know, for anything. And if we're really honest about it, regards Israel, the main reason that Israel was created was because of the West's guilt over what happened in the war.
Precisely.
And, I mean, let's face it, in a modern society, where else in the world would you have somebody that had an ancient book that says, this land is mine, and they would give them title to it?
Yeah.
You try doing that these days.
Well, it even runs contrary to oldie English land law.
And you know, it's the main thing is it was created out of guilt because they knew what was going on. Both the British and the American government.
Yes.
Everybody knew what was going on, and yet they would not do anything about it. They ignored it for so long, and that is why it happened. And you know, and the poor people, which is, you know, the Jews, not talking about Israeli, but Jews as a whole, they have been the whipping boys throughout history.
Yes.
Every time something goes wrong, you know, it was the Jews that suffered the pogroms and all that.
Oh, yes. Well, when the Black Plague swept through Europe, the first thing that the ignorant medieval Europeans screamed was, well, those baby-eating Jews must have poisoned our wells and given us this plague.
Yeah, and when people talk about, oh, the Palestinians are terrorists, you know, these people are terrorists, they all seem to forget about what happened before Israel was created. The Zionists.
Yeah.
Like Ariel Sharon. you know, these old timers, they were terrorists. They were committing acts of terrorism.
Menachem Begin was personally responsible for the bombing of the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. Yes.
The King David Hotel. And anybody that's done any study of any history in that part of the world knew when, you know, as soon as this thing started against Iraq, for instance, as soon as that World Trade Center was struck, I could see what was possible. You know, on
yeah.
the bad side. And everything, it seems to me, that is going on is being done by people that haven't the ability to think ahead or have the ability to think ahead and don't care what happens.
Well, the fact is, Sue, and boy, I don't want to get in trouble over this, and I don't like being called names, and I'm not anti-anybody. I am pro-human, okay, period.
Well,
bottom.
This is it. I'm not anti-anything. And
right, but what I'm trying to, you know, you mentioned Menachem Begin and the bombing of the the King David Hotel. That,
yeah.
There is no way that the argument can be made, and no one with a sound mind will make it, that the King David Hotel was any sort of a military target. Okay,
no,
it was just it was just pure mean terrorist bombing. Okay, and that was a tactic that was more or less invented at that time and in that place, and it was adopted by the Palestinians for use on people who kind of invented it. And it remember that old that old song Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, where the first line is "Teach your children well."
Yes.
You know, the people of the Levant, Menachem Begin and his crowd, taught the Levant to use terrorism.
Yeah.
And what goes around comes around.
If you go back in American history, I mean, there was a lot of propaganda about methods used by the Native American Indians that were actually introduced by the white man.
Scalping.
Exactly. And, you know, it's... The thing is, history is written by men, and it's usually written by and formed by the winners of
yeah.
these things. And the amount of propaganda that's going around the world regarding a lot of things now is it's just so blatant. And I'm afraid that a lot of people are just too lazy to look at it. Or haven't got time, maybe, is better.
Or haven't got the stomachs.
Well, yeah, I actually went to that Rapture Ready site and
I love that little noise, Sue.
I see these youngsters on there and I wish I could convince my dad or whatever of this. And I worry about the children of today. I was speaking to Agnes before I got put through when you said about it's vein opening music. About Evervestan?
Yes.
And the thing is, that is the music our children are listening to. It's the music my children listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's music of loss of hope, no future.
Yeah, we don't know. There's no Sweet Judy Blue Eyes out there. There's no there's no Summer Breeze by Seals and Crofts out there.
Sorry, Bob, carry on.
No, please.
But if I go back and I think, I mean, I'm of the Woodstock generation. I've got 10 years or so on you. But, you know, we used to have songs like Country Joe and the Fish. They were out there songs saying, we don't want this. We're not going to stand for this. And you. You know, they were songs of hope, protest. Anger, at least. There are some people that are still doing that. But a lot of the youth of today, it's like they've given up hope that there is no future.
Well, we're not doing a very, and I don't mean, you know, you and me, but my generation, your generation, is not doing a very good job right now informing or giving hope to the generations that are coming up behind us. They've got every right in the world to think that the whole thing may go to hell in a handbasket before they even get their hands on it.
No, because they think there's no point in believing in anything because, you know, there's nothing there to give them any hope. You know, the leaders, they see these elections being stolen left, right and center all over the world where, you know, something good happens and then someone gets assassinated or, you know, where it's being manipulated. And every time you see something to sort of hang on to, it's gone. You
yeah.
know, and it's a tragic,
And, you know, it really does kind of start with your generation, Sue, because at least, well, I don't know how it affected folks in the UK, but there is a generation, and it's been spoken of about this on this program, the generation in front of me had the rug literally pulled out from under their feet with the assassination of John Kennedy.
Well, I can remember my mum crying when Kennedy, I mean, I was 11 when Kennedy was shot, and I can remember my mum weeping. It wasn't just the Americans that lost John Kennedy, the world did.
Yes.
And I remember my mum saying, you know, that's it. We're lost. You know, because...
And, you know, she may have been... I look back a lot. She may have been right, Sue.
Because that's when it all... You know, he wanted to change things. And the money people didn't want it changed. That's what it came down to. Same as it comes down to with everything. It's money. That is... and people are... I mean, you've spoken very often about, you know, that you're fed up with, you know, what are we here for on this earth? You just work, pay your taxes, and you die. You're not entitled to anything else. You're not entitled to better yourself because every tax or law is the opposite of that. It's not there to make you rich. It's to keep people down. And it always has been. And, but I think there is hope because I've been doing an awful lot of introspection, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Inward looking over the last three or four months, I should imagine. And there is a different feeling coming around the world that people don't like what's going on. And there, it's very small sometimes, but there are people that I've spoken to that their view has changed. People that I wouldn't have been on the same... You know, that weren't totally on my wavelength, but people seem to be getting more spiritual, not religious, but more spiritual. And I've got a hope because I think all that's happening, we can fight all we like and we won't be able to stop it, Bob. It's got to happen. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen and it's going to be bad. But at the end of the day, I've come to the conclusion to... Let's see what is to be.
Well, I understand that, Sue.
I still speak out for what I believe in.
Yes.
But I don't constantly fight against it, and I kind of detach myself from it, if you like.
Well, I'm still at a place in my soul, if that's what it is, where I am inclined to fight and not go down without a, you know, to take a swing and scream and cuss and carry on and not go down without a fight, because I do retain a little very well protected core of optimism in my heart. This what we're witnessing here could be the birth pangs of a human race that is finally worthy of the planet. It's going to be an ugly birth, though.
Everything worth having is hard, Bob. I've always said that because my mum always used to say to me, you know, talk like childbirth. Anything that gives you a lot of pain eventually gives you a lot of pleasure. And my mum always said, if something comes easy, it's not worth having. And, you know, I'm beginning to believe in that. More and more, because I know I've heard you say, oh, this, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger,
mm-hmm.
in a joking way. Well, I'm 54 now, so in 54 years of life, I can honestly say that everything in my life that has happened, bad things, in the end, has made me stronger and made me grow. Because the person I am now is nothing like the person I was, you know. I haven't got the idealism that I used to have. I've got a much more, a deeper look at what's around me, if you like.
Yeah.
And, but I can hardly recommend someone called Eckhart Tolle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Eckhart Tolle. And if you look up, and this man is absolutely It really, really makes you think. He speaks on, it's like a cross between Buddhism and, well, he's just a very spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've been listening. I listen to audiobooks because my ability to read has been a bit affected as a concentration thing, but I can listen to something.
Right.
And I've been listening to a lot of his works, and he's got a new book out called The New Earth. And actually, if you actually listen to him read it, it really comes across because he reads all his own work, and he has this way of talking that is amazing. It's really amazing, and it really sort of gets you to think about being in the present, in the now, as he calls it, and observing the ego.
Well, I'm at his main page right now, Sue, and I will have a look when the show is over.
Well, I can highly, for anybody that is listening as well, that's getting, I mean, I don't even know this chap, to be quite honest, and I've only known him myself over the last 3 weeks or so, known of him, rather, and I can honestly say to anybody who gets so tied up in knots, being around their people, right-wing people, that wind them up, I mean, this bloke has even allowed me to detach from my neighbour. Who, you know, last time I said if I had a gun, I'd have
shot. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Well, that speaks volumes.
It's totally calmed me down in a lot of ways. And it isn't that I've given up the fight. It's just that I go about it in a way that I don't get drawn in and, you know, I'm not in danger of having a blood vessel go in my brain. So,
well, those things are unpleasant, and avoiding them is a great goodness.
But any of this sort of thing where people come and call me anti-Semitic, I mean, the true meaning of Semitic is Arab.
Yes.
You know, and it has been hijacked, basically. And, you know, this should apply. I'm not, you know, the Holocaust was a terrible thing, and what happened to the Jewish race was terrible. You know, it was absolutely
terrible. Well, it defies description.
But why should it be the only thing that should be given this amount of protection that they've got? Because I think they get you left, right, and centre if anyone mentions anything.
Well, the fact that, you know, there's no getting around the fact that Israel cannot exist without the protection of Western Europe and the United States. Period.
The thing is, the state of Israel is really in like a form of a baby. It's never had to learn how to look after itself. It's always been subsidized. And, you know, I used to be...
Well, in many ways, Sue, and I think Europe and the United States recognize it. You talk about it's been subsidized. It's never had to walk on its own. It's never had to breathe on its own. It is a blood debt that the so-called Christian West is paying for its negligence.
Well, this is it. And the thing is that I tend to think in the forms of the natural process of things, because at one time I used to have save the whale, save this, save that, you know, and I was here, there, and everywhere trying to save everything. And one day it just hit me that you can't save everything, that things are moving forward. If animals are losing their natural habitat, it's a part of the evolutionary process. And, you know, I will still campaign to stop the whaling or whatever, but I'm not going to carry on propping things up. Do you understand what I mean by
yes.
that?
Yes.
That you cannot do everything, you cannot save everything. And, you know, that if we just concentrate on ourselves and getting ourselves into the right way of thinking or the right way of doing things, that everything will be saved anyway. Do you know what I mean? That if humanity concentrates more on itself and the way we treat our fellow man...
Right.
That,
well, that's why I brought up Darfur.
Well, yes. And, you know, at the way things are going at the moment, Bob... I've got a feeling that, I mean, the only way this thing is going to be resolved in Iraq, whether it be in India, Pakistan, or Israel and Palestine. The only way it's going to stop is when one side has killed the other, totally. Now, what is that?
That's genocide. Yes.
And I believe that is what this is all building up to, because the only way this problem is going to be resolved is when all of one side is dead. Now, that is what we as humans have to decide, whether or not we want to support that.
Yeah, will we tolerate it?
Exactly, because that is the way that, and it would have to be because of the way these religions are formed against each other, as Judeo-Christian and the Muslim world, they are so set, these fanatics on both sides, that the only way it will be resolved is if they're all dead.
God, that is stark, Sue, but it's there's truth.
I was in the army when I left home to join the army when I was a teenager, a late teenager, and one of the first things that we learned is that whatever you're undertaking, you always calculate what the worst case scenario will be. And that is the way I've lived my life. Whatever action I take, I will sit and carefully think through to the end result. What could be the worst thing that can happen if I do this? And I think if more of our leaders took the time to really think through what they are going to do instead of knee-jerks and thinking about the moment they're in office, if they really thought things through and saw what the worst-case scenario is, that's the answer I've just given you. That's the worst-case scenario, total genocide of one side or the other.
Yeah. It is. It's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to bring a little context to these kind of discussions. I guess it was last week. I had seen an article in the newspaper that where scientists have determined that the most you got to do is go back 5,000 years in time,
mm-hmm.
and you and me, and every single one of the billions in China, and every person in Africa, and every person in South America, North America, go back 5,000 years, and we all have a common ancestor.
Of course. Of course.
That's not that far back. I mean, humans have been on the planet for, in one form or another, for 2.5 million years.
And I mean, you get people that say, oh, save the Earth, save the planet. And the thing is, the Earth and the planet will be fine. It will adjust to whatever we do to it. We won't be fine.
We may not be here. Kurt Vonnegut says that the human race is a virus that the planet is doing its best to reject.
And this is it. I mean, you only have to look at the natural events that take place. You know, once you get out the idea that there's somebody up there sort of pressing buttons or waving their hand or whatever to cause this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
You're right. It's having a violent allergic reaction to us, and it's trying to wipe us off there with water, with wind, you know, with earthquakes. And the planet, as my friend is he's a very mathematical-minded scientific, astronomical type of person, says to me that, you know, the planet will be fine. It's us that will be gone.
Yeah, the planet's going to be here till the sun burns out.
It's going to be a blink of an eye. We're going to be on the time, like you say, of the scale of what's happening with life on Earth.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be gone, and life will carry on without us. And,
And the ants will do their ant things, and the aardvarks will do their aardvark things, and yeah.
And all that'll be left is cockroaches and share.
all that stuff, and you save a one-liner like that, Sue. You are an amazing human being.
I love Cher. I really do. I love the way that she sort of gets it fixed, and if you've got it, flaunt it. I think she's fantastic. And
but I think she's no longer biodegradable.
Well, having said that, she might be recyclable.
Sue, thank you. Thank you so much. We will. We will.
And the same to you, Bob, and have a good night.
You have a wonderful tomorrow.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
All right. Thanks, Sue.
Bye-bye, Bob. Lovely talking to you again.
Oh, and you as well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Our good friend Sue in England. And there is an inquiry from the chat room, Sue, as to whether or not you might be available for an ambassador job. God knows I'd trust Sue with a diplomatic pouch more than I would most of the criminals in government today. I would trust most of the folks that I deal with on this program with the reins of power more than I trust most of the criminals in government today. Oh, yeah. Nothing left but cockroaches and Cher. Oh, you know, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take it downhill to the end. And there's a couple of things we could do, but if you've got something on your mind, there's still time to get it in. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. I'm Bob.
Birds, snakes, and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world, serve its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox, speak grunt. No strength, the ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire and a fire. Representing 7 games in a government for hire and a combat site. Left and west are coming in a hurry with the fury speeding down your neck. Team, my team, reporters, travel Trump, Kevin Croft. Look at that.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq war and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I like to think I've earned my reputation for rushing in where angel spirit tread. I'll take you home to meet the congregation. We'll all get together in my tent. I make a dirty little religion at 11. I'll make a dirty little convert out of you. I make a dirty little religion at 11. I'll make a dirty little convert out of you.
All right, 23 minutes before the hour. We're rolling home. I tell you what, I don't like making folks wait. Let's go straight to the phones. Gene is calling from Oregon. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Okay. Well, I have just one quick thing to say about the Israeli thing, and that's just to give the Israelis Texas, and then that'll be the end of any kind of that'd be the end of any real support the alien rebels would probably give them, because now they'd be in their own backyard. I'm not meaning to be offensive toward the Israelis.
No, I understand.
Or the alien rebels, but you know. Now, I had a little story I wanted to tell you. I've been meaning to tell you this for 2 days.
Okay.
I've got, and it's sort of related, but not much. I've got this friend that is visiting, and so Tuesday night we went out for a walk. And we walked in by chance to the Hillsboro Farmer's Market. And we're kind of cruising around looking at stuff, and there's a guy from PG&E there, or PGE,
yeah,
wrong company, and he's selling green energy. So I signed up.
Sure.
So in 28 days, I should be, if I can afford it, we're not all glowing, coal-free.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So I was kind of surprised, because I looked at the charts, and it was really kind of a shock that PG&E looks like about 80% of their general energy is coal-based. It's kind of a shock.
Yeah, well, where you are, yeah. But then again, where they blow up our mountains here, Gene, to get at the coal, in the eastern Montana and Wyoming, they dig great big holes in the ground. It's sort of mountaintop removal turned upside down, and I imagine that a lot of that western coal does go to support the West Coast.
Probably you're right, and I was thinking, because basically PG&E was part of Enron before they got divided.
Yeah, well, they were part of the whole brokerage scam.
Oh yeah, and so they contracted with a company called Green Mountain Energy. I don't know if you know them or
no.
But
you have an alternative there to purchase green energy as opposed to carbon-based.
Yeah, it's 50% wind, 25% hydroelectric, that's supposed to be safe, low impact, and then 25% geothermal.
Well, I'm surprised they're not trying to palm off nuclear as green to you, Gene.
I don't think nuclear would go over too well here. We have the Hanford.
Right, you've got, yeah, Hansford is a boondoggle. There was something, I'm sorry, it escapes me. There was something I was going to ask you, but
Well, that's okay.
I must have put it on a dying brain cell.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm sure if you remembered, I just wanted to tell you that little story, because it's like,
Well, that's exciting. I mean, is it going to cost you much more?
I'm hoping, the way the guy talked about it, cost me an extra $350 a month, which will run me around $35.50, maybe $36.
Oh, well, that's tolerable.
Yeah, that is tolerable. I'd held off doing this because the way I had heard it, the green energy was a lot more. And I guess the other two, because there's three different programs. There's one program you can go all wind, and another program, some of the money is donated to, build up clean sources.
You know, it amazes me because we're still dealing with this foolishness here in West Virginia of a bunch of fake environmentalists saying we don't want no windmills. We want to keep burning coal.
You know, actually, that reminds me. I ran across a story a couple weeks ago about a personal windmill you could get for your own house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll have to send you that link. I've got.
Oh, do please. I'd like to see that. Gene, thanks so much. Have yourself a great evening. Always good to hear from you.
Okay.
And let us know how the green energy works out.
All right.
All right, bye.
Thank you, bye.
And onward to a new friend, our friend Gail in Florida. Gail, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob.
That was a humdinger you wrote.
I was up one night, and I was I was feeling pretty aggravated. I'm a precinct captain for the Democrats down here in Marion County.
Now, that's Marion County, Florida. Where, because I'm painfully ignorant, where is Marion County, Florida?
It's in the center of the state. Ocala is right dead center of the state. We're about 40 miles south of University of Florida in Gainesville.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right on I-75. About a month or two ago, I had neglected to go to a meeting and attend one of the leadership meetings. And they have the website, Marion County Dem website, and they had blogs on it for a while. And I started writing for it, me and a couple other people. And somebody had written something, I'm not exactly sure, well, I think it was probably a little bit of Bill Nelson, because he seems to be he's running for Senate again.
Well, if I had Bill Nelson for a senator, I'd be running around the room screaming every so often. The only thing with Bill, though, is the fact that your alternative is Catherine Harris.
This is true. This is true. Well, there is another alternative. He's an independent running down here. His name's Brian Moore, but he's...
Him and the Snowball. Great chance.
Right. But... Anyway, they had removed the blogs, censored the blogs, basically. Somebody had posted something they didn't like, and they pulled it all the way around. And like I said, I wasn't at the meeting. I had heard it was a 5-5 vote, and with the leadership, and then the chairman voted with the moderates that to remove the blog. And I pretty much launched my own email assault on these guys. I pound him every day, talking, you know, basically called him, you know, doing a Republican thing by censorship.
Right.
and anyway, I just kept launching emails all the way around, and it was basically rolling back downhill to the vice chairman, who was having some personal problems. And anyway, they finally put the blog back on, but not on the first page. But anyway, I was pretty aggravated, and I know all the things that are going on nationally or whatever, and or most of them. And you're right, I neglected to put the e-voting thing in there. The Brad blog covers a lot of that stuff really good.
Yeah, Brad, I'd say he's the preeminent.
Absolutely. I do subscribe to Voting Integrity News or something. They're on there somewhere, but they've got some great stuff, activist stuff coming too. But I don't think there's too many people in this nation that are any in any way politically savvy, including Republicans, that don't realize that most of our problems are emanating by the corruption and greed.
What I found interesting, Gail, was your call for the, and I understood it to be a call for a corporate death penalty.
Yeah,
not necessarily going out and stringing up Ken Lay, but not such a bad idea. Well,
digging back up, yeah.
Yeah, right. Send his parts to the four corners of the empire. I'm all for it. We have a death penalty for NCAA football teams that get caught too many times passing out too many $100 handshakes.
Absolutely, and when they founded this nation, it's my understanding that corporations were not even allowed. First corporation in this country was Harvard University, as I recall.
And they were for specific, very strictly monitored purposes.
Right. And after 10 years, the people voted on whether or not they were a benefit to society. And if they weren't, they were voted to lose their charter.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've come on, and Lincoln was terribly frightened of unleashing the robber barons after the, you know, toward the end of the war, war.
Well, he had been a railroad company lawyer, so he had seen it firsthand.
Absolutely, and it was a railroad company clerk, a former railroad company clerk, and it was a railroad company legislation, as I recall, that basically gave corporations
personhood.
And, of course, as many of us in the know are aware now, that the justices of the time were quite adamant that they were did not intend to do that, that they had avoided that.
Well, when you've got a some would argue that, like with Enron or MCI WorldCom, that when they go bust like that in a corporate corruption scandal, that's a sort of self-imposed death penalty. But the thing is, that doesn't always happen that way.
And it's not going to pay Granny back all those monies they reeked in from them in California.
Yeah, I want the last light bulb sold.
Oh.
You know, to pay off the people that they robbed. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, the other thing that I did not see in your list, and I'm not picking, okay?
The e-voting?
No. The other thing besides the e-voting that I did not see in your list, that's sort of a near and dear to me, is public funding of political campaigns.
You know, I am all for that. I think it's a great way to go. I really like what they've done in Arizona. I hope it and some of the other places.
Maine, yeah.
Right, Maine too.
And we've got an annual push here in West Virginia, and we think we're getting closer to it, but we still haven't quite made it.
I worked in West Virginia for a little while. I was at the Knaugh coal mine in Ashford, West Virginia.
Oh, my goodness.
Canadian Steel. I was a clerk in a coal mine. I had the privilege of going underground one time, 2.5 miles.
And probably enough to make you never want to do it again.
Yeah, I didn't like ducking down that much. It was an experience. And since then, I have went to college, got a degree in radiation protection technology, and traveled around. I've been to about 30 different nuke plants around the country, and of course I haven't been in one in 10 years because I'm violently, well, not violently, I'm just adamantly. How's that?
Okay, adamant works.
Opposed to nuclear power now. I'll wait till it's time to decommission them, and then I'll go back to work.
Well, so you're a precinct captain there in Marion County. That's inspiring to me because it's the kind of thing that we've been talking about on a number of occasions on this program. We get ourselves up in a hot lather about, you know, is it going to be Hillary? Is it going to be blah, 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 you know, running for president or a congressional representative or whatever. And I keep trying to say that until such time as dedicated, committed progressives and liberals are willing to get out there and run for committeeman and run for the county commission and run for city council, that the pyramid is, you know, the pyramid is built from the base, not from the apex.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is something that occurred to me a while back. I was like, well, geez, what party do I join? They're both, kind of, well,
yeah.
I don't want to talk bad about the Democrats.
Well, no.
It was the Clinton White House that Ken Lay, he stayed overnight. Well, in the Clinton White House. God darn it, I like Clinton a lot, but.
Well, but he never gave nearly the money to Democrats that he gave to Republicans.
Oh, absolutely.
If you go to thesmokinggun.com, you can find, probably in the archives still there, you can find his little love letters to George Bush while George was still governor of Texas, busy killing Carla Faye Tucker.
Been there, done that.
I resist, again, to use that word adamantly, I resist adamantly this idea that Democrats are as dirty as Republicans.
Certainly, they're not, but they...
And what I keep putting forward, Gail, is this notion of, I'm hard on Republicans because Republicans are filthy, but you watch, you know, if we get a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate, I'm going to be 10 times as hard on them because I believe they can do better.
I'm with you on that, my brother.
I want to stomp on the Bellas until the fire is white hot, and I want to put their pink little feet up against it.
You know it.
and make them do the right thing.
You know it. I was talking to a candidate the other day who's running for a congressional seat down here against Rick Keller, and I was talking to him and with his wife toward the end of the meeting, and I said, look, you know, I'll support you all the way, but I got to tell you, if you get caught up in this corruption case, street machine, or whatever, I'll hunt you down and kill you. And this is an ex-football player, like a lineman or whatever. He said, you don't mean that. You know, he says, maybe you mean you'd chase me down with a stick and beat me or something, but you know what? He's too big to chase down with a stick.
Yeah.
Take the stick, boys.
But, I mean, we've got to get to that point, don't we, Gail? We've got to demand accountability from him.
Absolutely.
Because we've got a six-year nightmare mess. I mean, we thought it was bad. It took Reagan and Bush 12 years to come nigh to destroying this nation. It's only taken W6.
The scandal after scandal, it is, you know, and of course, it takes somebody with a brain like Karl Rove to engineer all this stuff. I mean, just when you're on to one wankery, as I believe Daily Cost calls it,
mm-hmm.
Something else is created. There, you can't dig deep enough in it because there's just more stuff happening all the time. It's a cancer.
Yeah, it's an onion with no, it's an onion with no core.
Absolutely.
Well,
it's an onion that just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing.
Well, I posted your blog entry in the chat room just a few minutes ago.
Okay.
We blog over at headonradionetwork.com, and we're not much on censorship.
Okay.
So, you know, feel free to drop by anytime, Gail. And you know, we're growing this network one listener at a time.
Hey.
And if you've got friends, if you've got associates, cousins, aunts, uncles, I don't care. You know, tell the cat and dog that there is an alternative out there for people who want to really talk about issues.
Yeah.
Because we call this conversation radio. This is not talk radio.
Right.
And I've really enjoyed having a chat with you. I hope I'll hear from you again. And you know, best of luck to you. And you know, frankly, keep the email going to those guys at your county Democratic Party, because they've got to be brought around.
I know this moderate stuff is not working.
There is no such thing as a moderate. I really don't believe it. During the 2004 cycle, all that business about independents will decide this election. Well, clearly it didn't, because the election was decided by dirty vote practices in Ohio.
And 2000 was dirty vote practices in Florida.
Right, and there were no independents.
Right. Can I toss a little metaphor out there for you?
Do please.
Imagine a seesaw, you know, a teeter-totter, about 12 feet long, and it's a balance. It's a balance between, and when it's in balance, you have capitalism. If it tilts to the left, you have socialism, and if it tilts to the right, you have fascism. And right now, on the right, you have a fat kid at a picnic, you know, you're at a picnic, and you got a little 50-pound girl on the left end, and you've got a 120-pound little fat boy on the right end, and he's got the little girl up in the air, and she's screaming, and she's screaming, and she's screaming, and everybody's just saying, shut up, little girl. And then the little fat boy's down there, and he's eating the little girl's chicken and everything else.
Yeah.
And the people say, no, you have to move toward the center. You have to move toward the center. Well, let me ask all these brilliant, brilliant minds out there. If you've got a 12-foot board, you got a 120-pound little fat boy on one end, and you got a 50-pound little girl hung up in the air on the other end, how many feet toward the middle must the little girl move to balance out the board?
And to keep from getting her butt busted.
Yeah, well, guess what? Come on, mathematicians. It can't happen.
Exactly.
You've got to unseat the fat boy or get him to move toward the middle.
Man, that's one of the best ones I have heard in a while, Gail.
I'm glad.
I'm stealing it, okay?
You got it, buddy. It's yours.
Gail, thanks so much. What a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, enjoy talking to you, too.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our new buddy, Gail, Ocala, Florida. A fighter. I posted the... I'll try to do something about getting in touch with the News Ninja, and I'll post that link in on the main page too for those of you who listen later. It's pretty energizing. And you know, the interesting thing at the front part of the discussion, he lays it out how you got Democrats.
Oh, no, you're being too radical. You're being too radical. Can we pray now?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Bad, Bob, bad. Look, that's it. It's Malloy time. The program tonight was admirably produced by my darling wife, Agnes, with assistance from production intern Zach, who at some point in time you will get to meet if you call the program, we hope, because we're trying to bring on more staff so we can bring on more programming. It's that important. Brian Reznor announces the program. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computers in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams and the archives of all the programs on the Head On Radio Network. He also maintains the archives of other fine liberal talk programs, like our buddy Malloy. He's got a fundraiser going on, Ben does. Got to do the right thing. Let's see. John Fox in Sydney, Australia, is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. It's amazing what a guy 8,000 miles away can do in a studio 8,000 miles, like here. Now, the program happens, every program on the horn happens because of the dedication of several thousand members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream, and by helping us build the horn, they're saving the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.